Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events, such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult, season 2. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallo and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, and welcome back, or welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult, Lori Vallo and Chad Daybell, season 2, episode 2, the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau. So this episode, the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau, is very interesting and where you start really seeing a lot of twists and turns and how cult-like these people really are. Melanie Boudreau, formerly Melanie Cope as her maiden name, was married to Brandon Boudreau. They were going through a divorce around the same time that Charles was murdered. Melanie is very close to Lori. Melanie is Lori's niece, and her own mother, Stacy, Lori's sister, had died kind of an untimely death, but she was ill. She had diabetes and was said to have gastroparesis. There's also some rumors and speculation that she was anorexic. Either way, she died. There's also some rumors out there, and I don't have a verifiable source at this minute, that Alex Cox used Stacy's credit cards when she was dead, which in hindsight creates a lot of suspicion about Stacy's death. So Stacy passes away, and Melanie's very close to her Aunt Lori. She describes Aunt Lori as a second mother to her.
How close are you to Lori?
My mom passed away when I was 9, and Lori is one of the closest things to her and how much love my mom showed me. So she's a friend, almost like a mother to me, and an aunt, and somebody that I love.
Do you think that she is being unfairly portrayed?
It's just not Lori that I see. I see a lot of hatred in the media and a lot of judgment. I see a lot of lies. I don't know where my cousins are, her children, JJ and Tylee, and I love all of them, and I know she's doing whatever she can to keep her kids safe, and I hope we can see how that turns out in the future as truth continues to come forward.
Did anything seem strange to you when you moved out there about the way Lori was acting or Chad?
Well, I moved out there right after my ex took my children from me. There's a lot of lies out there that I've abandoned my children, and it's simply not true. I didn't move down there to be in a cult. I didn't move down there to be solely by Lori. Lori's very independent and does her own thing, and I had my own reasons for, you know, kind of having a fresh start and trying to work through my custody battle with my ex.
So Melanie's married to Brandon Boudreau, and they have 4 children. He does very well for himself in business, and him and Charles are quite close. I spoke with one of Melanie's friends that knows her, and was Facebook friends with her and knew her in real life prior to this incident. And I asked her to describe what Melanie was like before all this stuff went down with Tylee and JJ and Lori and Chad and etc. This is how she describes Melanie and Brandon.
Melanie
everything in their marriage was good until Lori moved back from Hawaii. Before that, Melanie and Brandon would kid and even flirt a little on Facebook. They had challenges like everyone else. She struggled with him working and traveling a lot, but it wasn't a major issue, and they had always worked it out. There weren't any red flags or major problems. And Melanie was a strong woman, not prone towards struggling. Her pregnancies weren't easy, but she wanted and loved her children, and she had help. When Lori came back from Hawaii, Lori was trying to be more spiritual and religious, and she influenced Melanie to go for that as well. Melanie's Facebook page changed quite a bit from 2017 to 2018, changed from fun and engaging to mostly religious posts. She posted a lot in 2018 about human trafficking and nonprofits working against it. Brandon and Melanie had given Lori and Charles a bunch of money for their Hawaii business, which failed. Remember, Lori and Charles had moved to Hawaii and had a ice cream, shave ice type stand on the island of Kauai. So she says, Brandon and Melanie had given Lori and Charles a bunch of money for their Hawaii business, which failed. Lori leveraged that to pit the Boudreaux's against Charles, but it didn't work on Brandon. He saw through it, but Melanie was angry at Charles. Lori wanted a husband who was a spiritual giant. She influenced Melanie to want that for herself too, and manipulated her to be suspicious and distrustful of her husband, Brandon. Alex Cox, Uncle Alex to Melanie, brother Alex to Lori, supported that narrative over time. After Chad came in the picture, he used that too to manipulate Melanie. Melanie bought this, what Lori was selling. And it also, she did believe in this zombie nonsense. Now, if you remember from last week, Brandon is a dark spirit. And according to Chad's rubric, Brandon was noted as a dark spirit. So you know what happens to dark spirits. They become zombies, or they become unworthy of living on the planet because their soul is gone and they need to kill the body in order to release the soul or whatever the whole Chad belief system says. One thing that I was thought was really interesting, there is an interview on Hidden True Crime, and I can put the link in the show notes. Lauren does a fantastic job of getting some great interviews on her show. And she has an interview with a friend, a very good friend of Brandon's. This woman's name is Jess, and her husband is a business partner of Brandon's. And Jess, when she's talking to Lauren in this interview, she says that when Brandon heard that Charles was shot by Alex, he said, I'm going to be next. And that was, again, during the time when Melanie and Brandon were separated. Brandon had the instincts to know that this was serious business going on, and he very well could be murdered by these people. Melanie, on September 17th, asked Brandon for his new address. On September 23rd, there are two photos of ammunition at the gun shop, which is an Idaho gun store. And it is saved to Lori's iCloud account. And there's pictures of that ammunition. On September 26th through September 29th, Melanie Boudreaux left Arizona and went to visit Lori up in Rexburg, Idaho. This is all leading up to Brandon's attempted murder. On October 1st, Lori rented a 10 by 10 storage unit at Self Storage Plus in Rexburg, Idaho. Also on October 1st, Brandon Boudreaux and Melanie Pulaski's house that they owned together did sell. The house closed that day. Now, I'm trying to stick with the timeline here. It kind of jumps around a little bit, so bear with me. We'll go back a minute. So about 37 hours before the attempted shooting, a green Jeep Wrangler registered to Charles Vallow, Lori Daybell's husband, who is now deceased and killed by Alex Cox, was spotted by a license plate reader driving southbound on Interstate 15 near Blackfoot. And they did find DNA evidence that points to Alex Cox driving the Jeep. After about 11 hours of driving, the Jeep was spotted again westbound on Interstate 40 near Holbrook, Arizona, which is about 3 hours northeast of Gilbert. And twice that morning, Alex Cox and Chad Daybell made calls between their burner phones. And this is all according to police reports. 13 hours before the shooting, Alex Cox's Gmail account shows he searched Brandon Boudreaux's new rental address, which Melanie Pawlowski and a few others knew. More communications took place between Chad and Alex's burner phones around the same time. That's also the day that Lori Vallow orders a ring that's later shown in their wedding rings photos. Remember the one, the Etsy one was canceled, but this is October 2nd. Lori orders the ring. So East Idaho News says that a ring, size 4, sterling silver, Southwestern style malachite gemstone was purchased on Amazon for $35.99 on October 2nd, 2019. It shows the ring was delivered October 7th to the townhome where Lori was staying on Pioneer Road in Rexburg. The name on the order was Charles Vallow, Lori's deceased husband. And witnesses say and police say that Lori continued to use Charles's Amazon account after he died. And that's how dumb she is. Kay Vallow had access to this stuff. When they searched the history on the computer from which the ring was ordered, it also showed someone searching for wedding dresses the next day. So on October 2nd, Brandon Boudreaux told investigators he left the house at 7:25 a.m. with his four children, and he returned at 9:14 a.m. He actually stopped and went to the gym in between dropping off the children and getting back home. He saw the back window of the Jeep open up. He said he saw the muzzle of a gun pointed towards him, and the gun was fired. The bullet hit the front driver's side door frame of Brandon's Tesla, and Brandon drove away. Eyewitness accounts confirmed a dark-colored Jeep Wrangler with a Texas license plate, dark-tinted windows, and no wheel affixed to the back was parked idling on the wrong side of the street immediately west of Brandon's address. We can listen to the 911 call. There is a lot of redactions in this, by the way.
October 2nd, 2019, 9 hours, 14 minutes, 53 seconds.
911, where's your emergency?
Someone just shot my window.
Okay, where at?
I'm in the coolest state away, but I can see them driving off.
Okay, someone shot at your vehicle?
Yeah, and it hit my window. It shattered my driver's side window.
Okay, when you pulled into his driveway?
As I was trying to pull into my driveway.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a little lost for breath. They just drove off. I saw them drive off.
Okay. Do you know who these people are?
I have no idea. I moved into a new home about a week ago.
Oh, which way did they go? Do you remember?
They're driving south towards Pecos Road. Between Pecos and Rector.
Okay. You don't see the vehicle anymore?
No, they left. They drove off.
Okay.
I'm pulling into my house because they're gone.
Okay. Where are you at right now?
In my car.
Where are you at?
In my car at my house at 3:08.
Walk over here and see if I can see what they shot at me.
And what kind of car were you in?
I'm in a black Tesla Model X.
It's a black what?
Tesla Model X.
Okay, black Tesla Model X. Okay. Okay. All right. I do have officers on the way to meet you.
Okay.
Do you want to go inside or do you want to wait outside wherever? Okay. All right. And what is your name?
My name's Brandon Boudreaux.
Okay. I'm going to stay on the line with you just to make sure you're safe, just in case they come back. Do you have any weapons on you?
No.
Okay. Okay. Do you see the officer pulling up?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Looks like he's coming up.
Correct. I wonder if he's on. There's another section of it. He might be on another section.
Okay. Because, his car is showing right near Fisher Lane and Felt Street.
I'm at, what is the cross street? Sorry, I just moved over here. Yeah, I'm at Fisher and Phelps. I don't see it.
Okay. Okay. It's funny. His car was showing there for a second, and now it's showing back at Higley and Pecos, so that's kind of weird. Maybe. I know that there's actually an officer that's heading towards you, and then there's other I think he accidentally hit his arrive button is what happened, because he's still moving. So just out of nowhere, did you see the guy that
I didn't see who it was.
Okay.
So then I drove, and then I didn't drive very far. I just drove around the corner and waited for you guys to pick up. And then I kind of saw them come around the corner and go down the road and start driving down south towards Pecos and Brecker.
Okay. And okay.
I knew there was only one way out of Pecos Manor, and that's down there on Pecos Road. So that's why I told you that.
Okay. All right. I do see the officer pulling up on Fisher from Fairview.
Okay. So he's coming from the other way. He'll come around right now. I'll see him in just a sec.
Okay.
Yeah, I see him.
Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and let you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
October 2nd, 2019, 9 hours, 22 minutes, 34 seconds. October 2nd, 2019, 10 hours, 10 minutes, 36 seconds.
Gilbert, please, this is Lindsay.
Hello, Lindsay. I was just notified by my neighbor that there was an incident next door to my house, and I need to know if it's okay for my wife to return home with my kids.
What's your address? Hold on just a second.
Thank you.
Sir?
Yes.
Okay. Per my sergeant, you guys can go home or leave. There's no issue.
Okay.
So.
That's good to know.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
October 2nd, 2019, 10 hours, 13 minutes, 14 seconds. October 2nd, 2019, 16 hours, 0 minutes, 51 seconds.
Gilbert Police Department, this is Beth.
Good afternoon, Beth. I guess in my neighborhood, my next door neighbor, somebody tried to shot at my neighbor, and I'm just getting bits of pieces of information about this. And obviously we're freaked out. My wife is freaked out and we're concerned for our safety. And so we're just wondering if there's somebody who's going to come talk to us about what happened and what they're doing and what's
Right now it's an ongoing investigation. So I'm really not sure, to be honest with you. A lot of the times we don't give out information, we do have detectives and officers working that incident right now, but unfortunately there's nothing that I'm going to be able to reveal.
Can you have them come over here and talk to us and reassure me and my wife as to what's being done and to where the security of everything?
I can see if somebody can give you a call. What's your name and address, sir?
So my name is Justin Foldish, Foldesh, And my address is 3.
Okay. And your phone number? Okay. Okay, I'll have somebody give you a call. Yeah,
you got to admit it. I mean, here in quiet Gilbert, that's it's an odd, rare thing and a little freaky.
Okay, no problem. I'll have somebody give you a call.
Thank you.
Bye.
October 2nd, 2019, 16 hours, 2 minutes, 54 seconds.
There's a news report about the incident as well.
October 2nd, just days after JJ and Tylee go missing, a call comes in to Arizona police.
911, where's your emergency?
Someone just shot my window.
A man named Brandon Boudreaux tells police another man shot at him as Brandon drove home, shattering his driver's side window.
Did you see the guy that
I didn't see who it was.
Brandon told Fox 13 he believed the shooting was linked to his ex-wife Melanie Boudreaux's newfound religious beliefs, beliefs she shared with her aunt, Lori Vallow DeBell, the mother of JJ and Tylee.
Get out of my house!
Just over a month later, a dramatic 911 call came into American Fork, Utah police.
The police are on their way! Get away from my door! Get out!
Melanie showed up to Brandon's father's house in Utah, driven by her uncle, Alex Cox, according to police reports.
Somebody tried to kill my son 3 weeks ago. Okay. In Phoenix.
Oh, that's terrible.
She's involved in it.
Police arrested Melanie and cited her with trespassing. The uncle who drove her, Alex Cox, is the man who shot and killed Lori's late husband, Charles Vallow, in Arizona in July of last
year. So the police actually arrive to investigate this shooting with Brandon. And here's the audio of the body cam footage of Brandon Boudreaux on October 2nd that morning when he was shot at.
Hi there. So what's going on?
Someone just shot my window out.
Okay, give me a little bit more than that.
Yeah, so I was just pulling in.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed a green Jeep Wrangler.
Okay.
It's like a droopy green color. Had a Texas plate.
Mm-hmm.
I just moved in like a week ago, so I thought maybe it was just my neighbor.
Okay.
So as I was kind of pulling in, they lifted their like back window.
Okay.
I saw a muzzle. They shot.
Are we talking a real gun, a BB gun?
It's got to be like a BB gun or an.
Okay, so they shot. Then what happened?
It hit my window, and instead of turning in, it scared me really bad.
Okay.
I thought, I'm getting shot at, so I drove straight. So
okay.
Drove straight really fast.
Okay.
Pulled around the corner, got my phone out, called 911, sat there, drove a little further up. I watched them come around the corner.
What do you mean coming around the corner? Come around corner where?
So I drove up there. I drove.
Okay.
This street.
Gotcha.
Right. Went a little further.
Okay.
Parked by, there's a park right there.
So he went northbound on that street.
Turned right, and I watched him turn right down here, and I knew there was only one way out of this neighborhood.
Okay.
On Pecos and Wrecker, so I told that to the dispatcher.
Okay, so he was on Wrecker. He went, but you don't know if he went onto Pecos. You just know Wrecker Road.
He didn't get on Wrecker. He stayed on this, and he came out on. He had to have gone out on Pecos because that's the only way.
Oh, he stayed in the neighborhood. He did not go out to Wrecker. I got you covered. Okay.
And I was nervous, so I was kind of waiting because I didn't want him to follow me.
So we don't know where, if he went on Pecos, left, right.
I don't. I didn't follow him anymore. I was a little uncomfortable.
Okay. 11 Paul 22, just for information on units, left the neighborhood south toward Pecos and unknown from that location. Okay.
So it was really loud, so that's why I didn't have a BB gun. But it could have been maybe...
Well, let's look. So you were just pulling into the driveway. They were sitting here.
Yeah, so I was...
Were they facing then west? Because they opened the back?
Yeah, he opened the back. And there had been two people, I think.
Okay.
So they were parked right here.
Right, facing that way. Gotcha.
And as I... So my window was like perfectly aligned because I was kind of starting to pull in.
Okay, so you didn't totally pull in yet. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So you can see my window. It shattered, but it didn't go through, which means... Couldn't have been a real
bullet.
I didn't think like that.
Oh. Whoa. Hello. Is that who's? Okay. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Is this going to shut on me if I get close?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't think that's a BB gun.
One friend calling us in GM 459. It's been holding for over 2 hours.
All right. So it looks like they shot up anything. It'd be there. All right. So you just moved in. Okay. You just moved. Okay. So was this a vacant home at the time?
Previously, yeah. Okay. It's a rental.
All right. So you're the owner though, right now? Or are you still okay, so you're just renting it. Did the owners of the house, can I open?
Yeah.
Is this, how do you open this door? Go ahead. Right. Ah, look at you.
Sorry.
That's pretty sweet. Anyway, did the owners of the house say anything to you who was renting the house before you or anything?
No.
All right. You have any enemies? Anybody that you...
I just went through a divorce. There was some crazy stuff that happened with her aunt who killed her husband, but I would hope that has nothing to do with this.
Okay. Did you live here in the valley before? Where'd you move from? I'm sorry?
I've lived here for 10 years.
Okay, so you moved, where'd you move from? Here in Gilbert,
I just
or?
I sold a house over on Quint, just right by
that. Okay, okay. And no issues at work, no issues, enemies or anything?
Oh, other than the only people that I could even think of would be that group. But.
You, the family?
Yeah.
Your ex-wife's?
Yeah.
All right. It's kind of weird. All right, let me grab my camera and get some pictures. All right, so you were coming here. Did it look like a long rifle? Did it look like a rifle type?
Yeah, it looked like a rifle or something. Like there was a muzzle. There was like some kind of a muzzle thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lifted up the back gate and shot.
Okay. So they were shooting this way. Okay. All right.
Go ahead and 1022. 11 pulse with 3, you're much closer. Go ahead and have you.
Hey, head over this way to the house. I want to show you something. Yeah, I think it might be adults. But yeah, I think this might be a real gun too. Not sure. I just want to show you real quick. Right here, right in the street here on Phelps. He was heading westbound, just about to drive into his driveway. And the green Jeep was parked right here on the side, right next to his house, just west of the house, facing west. And whoever was in the back opened up the back of the Jeep Wrangler, the little door in the back, whatever you want to call it, the flip thing, and shot one. So the guy didn't make it into his driveway. It shot and it actually hit the driver's window, blew out the window. And so the guy got scared and kept driving westbound. And then as he's round the corner, that's when the Jeep Wrangler took off, kind of circled in the neighborhood, and then headed toward Pecos, don't know where. So I'm going to take some pictures. Okay, bye.
Ugh.
was the window? Where did that land? Because I'm assuming you picked that up.
It actually stayed on my door.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, when I drove around.
So when you got out of your car right now is where it it lays?
Because you saw it just opens automatically. As soon as it opened, the window fell off. And so
That's just weird how that opens. That would freak me out. Yeah. All righty. All right, so whereabouts, what were you saying? Were you about right here?
Right here.
Okay.
I saw the tailgate lift up.
Yeah.
Pointed the gun at me. Shot.
Okay, so it would have went.
I heard a loud boom.
Yeah.
My window shattered, and then I just.
Right. I'm trying to figure out the trajectory. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay. There's nothing.
It's stuck in there.
You think so?
Absolutely.
That's what I was wondering, but I don't see. It's got to be back in here. Yeah. I'm not touching. Anyway.
Who's pissed off at you?
It's a little bit hard to hear. But the officer asks Brandon who's pissed off at you, and he goes on to explain about the whole Lori and Charles situation, and that is his wife's aunt.
All right, so he's right about here. You guys want to go just right over here for just a sec? Let me get some pictures real quick.
Where were you on the park? All
right. Now, the green you're talking about, are we talking that type of green?
Like a hunter green? Like a pukey green.
Okay, that's kind of more of a pukey green. Are we talking a chartreuse? I know that sounds like got a gazillion colors, green.
Let me just try and find out my nest. Look at your nest. He's got a
nest. Oh, right there. Fantastic. Do you have your, is that your car registered to you? The driver, your registration? Okay, I'll just get all your information off of that real fast.
There you go. Camel green.
Oh, camel green. Okay.
You're good, dude.
Are
they sending a detective up? This definitely.
I don't know. A detective is I'm out. Assuming. Well,
we're still recording.
Oh, I am too. Scott's I'm coming out.
Is he?
I don't know.
You need to call him.
Well, I thought he was coming. Well, you just said about Scott coming out.
No, I said I would call him.
Oh, well, of course. I thought he was coming out. Let's just get him on the radio and say, "Come on out." There goes a gray. Now, is it a? I gotta find out 2-door, 4-door. But anyway, get him out here. I thought he was already on the way.
I'm going to walk up and down these streets.
Yeah, see if we have any more cameras.
I'm going to walk up this one and back down.
Cool, thanks. So what would you say, how many minutes before you called us did this happen?
I just called right as soon as it happened.
Okay, so fantastic. Now, were you able to, because you're coming in, they're facing that way, so you're not going to be able to see. When they passed you, when you were parked, were you able to see any description of these people? Is it a guy, a girl, anything? Okay.
I was trying to make sure I had enough distance in case they shot it.
Okay. And you said you saw, when you saw, you could see the barrel. You think it was a long rifle, not a handgun?
Yeah, and it had like some kind of like a silencer or something on it.
Okay.
That's why it's like maybe it wasn't a gun because but it was so loud.
Okay.
Can I sit down?
Sure, sure. Do you have I was going to say, do you have a chair or something that we can get you?
I have some chairs. I just want to sit down.
Okay, sure, sure. No problem at all. Is there anybody else here? Are you the only person that lives here? Is there anybody here that... Okay. No other adults? Okay, is there somebody we can call to come here to be with you?
Yeah, in a minute.
Okay, you go ahead and you take your time, whatever you need, okay? Can I get you a bottle of water?
I got one over there. I'm fine. No, just give me I just want to...
Sure, no problem at all.
Is anybody else here with you, buddy?
No.
Nobody else is here at the house? What do you do for a living?
I own a couple of businesses.
Okay.
I know I have a lot of questions. I apologize. Is it a two-door or four-door Jeep Wrangler?
Looks like a two-door.
When you went, huh? Yeah, you're going to do a canvas, yeah, and do a line search. As you went down and you got out, you turned north on that street? Okay, how far did you go down before you parked and just...
You know, there's a pool over here.
There, okay, I'm not real far. It's been a while.
I used to live, I owned a house on the other side of the street.
So okay.
So I just pulled on the other side of the pool.
Pull the other side of the pool. Okay.
Right there.
All right. And then they passed you by. They
drive by. I thought, well, I'm going to go down this way and make sure they don't come back out and go out this way.
Right.
I had 911 and I told them. And okay. As I saw them go down that way, that's when I pulled
okay.
back in. And then it kind of hit me what happened. Mm. And not until you showed me that I realized.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get some maps and stuff like that. I'm going to be making some notes. So just hang tight. Okay. The GMC? Okay, got it.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I want to turn off. Hey, how are you?
And then these officers attempt to clear the house to make sure nobody is in it.
Police department. Dover Police Department.
It's like open laundry.
Yep. Yeah. Hold on. There's
a entrance right here.
Yeah, hold right there.
I'll hold this.
Hey, Brandon. How long does your Tesla video in your car, how long does that save?
I have no idea. I call them and find out.
Okay. Do you have a phone number for them? Do you guys need waters?
I have them in my
fridge. Well, we can't go in there. So I have waters in my patrol car. So if you guys need, just holler, you guys. Have you ever viewed any of your video in the past?
No. The only follow-up on that, it will be cleaned. It is not yet.
The person that killed the uncle or whatever, they are from Texas.
Oh, okay. So.
Right. Yeah. I'll follow up with you on that.
That one was not mentioned. So you're telling me Alex Cox is from Texas?
They live there. He's been living here in Arizona. But yeah, that whole family lived in Texas for, 6 months a year? They lived in Texas for, they lived there off and on throughout their lives. But yeah, just recently they were, he wasn't, but she was, Lori was living in Houston.
Okay. So where Charles lived in?
Houston.
Okay, so
he
how?
Here, and then he moved to Houston, and then when he came back here to visit, pick up his kids.
Okay.
She had moved back there.
I'm assuming Chandler PD knows all about all this. Okay. All right. Okay. So you've never decided you wanted to view any of your videos that you... Okay. And that's all just, you view them inside the car. You can't view them on your phone?
No, you can't view them inside the car. It goes to Tesla.
Well, you can view the back one, but you can't, like, I don't have anything recorded. It doesn't record in the car because they have a chip in there and it sends all the information back.
So Tesla itself has all the...
Yeah.
Ah. Hmm. That's good to know. Hadden.
Brandon, yeah. Do you mind if I get your brick? Thank you.
Any video is going to be at Tesla itself. He has no video in his car.
Okay.
So that's why I'm getting Tesla's info so we can give them a call. That chip that's in the car
for
the camera, I guess, goes to their server. So that's what I'm getting, Tesla info now.
Perfect. Thank you.
You want to get a camera and microphone?
I've got one in mine.
Is it recorded over there?
Uh-huh. It's just good to have. You know, you don't think about it. Everybody had the, what was it, the GoPros and all that?
This is their roadside assistance number.
Mm. Okay, go for it.
877-798-3752.
752. Great. Be right back.
Is all Mary Ann's fault?
Oh. Sure. You buying lunch?
Park
where I did. Park? Oh, yeah.
No, the apartment's buying lunch.
Cool. Okay. There's no video in the car. What it does is there's a chip in there and it goes to Tesla. They gave me Tesla's number for roadside assistance, so hopefully maybe they can get us to whoever. Huh?
Does it have a camera?
It has a camera, and it goes to Tesla, somewhere Tesla's cloud.
So they can write, they'll have that paper. But does he know how long it's saved?
No, he has no clue. He has no idea. He's never looked at his video, never did anything.
So that self-driving craft, they want it for their own purposes.
Probably. I can call Tesla and see if we can have it. He had no clue about any of that.
You'll have to write it for him.
Yeah. You know,
that's what detectives are good. What?
Detectives.
Yes, and that's exactly it. So I have everything we need for detectives.
I will not believe it until I see it. Just to let you know.
Well, the garage is open.
Yeah.
Push up? Yep, go ahead. Got a pantry door over here. Clear in here.
Pushing through. Towards stairs. Go ahead.
All right, I'm pushing up.
Okay. I'll push it through here, guys.
You're good. Is there a door over here on the left?
We'll push over. Both stairs.
Hold on.
Okay.
It's going in the Harry Potter closet. There's the open door there.
Right. You all right?
Yep.
There's a camera to the front door, too.
All right. We're going to push that way. You guys go around.
All right, hold the top.
Good.
1124 back. Can I get a third unit too? I'm going to do a canvas of this street to see if we can find anything. I'm going to do a line search down the street, see if we can see any casings or anything, Marianne. Do you hear me? Yeah, listen. Do you hear what I said? Yeah. Let's actually block off this road. The dude actually got shot right here. They shot right into his A-frame right here.
Really?
Yep. So I want to do a line search down the street. Okay. See if we can see any casings or anything. If you want to block off the road right there,
yep.
I'll have whoever's coming in there. He said it happened right around here, though. I'm going to actually have Marianne pull up there to stop people from turning down this way. What do you think?
Coming.
I don't know. Hey, Marianne, actually, will you pull your car up in front of that truck and block the road?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
I
haven't really listened to what he's saying.
What did he say about it? I'm curious.
It's a camel green. Where are you going to?
Around the block. I just picked up my mail. I live.
Okay. Do you do me a favor and back up this way? We're trying to block off this right here. Okay.
Oh, What's happening?
I really can't tell you. We're just investigating something right now, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Will you block that off? Yeah, just have them come meet you.
All the way down.
Well, the Jeep was supposedly parked in front of that van, but it took off that way, so I still want to search all the way down that way just to make sure we don't miss it.
Well, I'll have him blocked off.
Yeah. We probably need a fourth. We probably could use four. Do you think we could do three up and the three back? What do you think? I'm going off.
Officers.
Hey, buddy, I never even got your name. What is it?
It's Brandon.
Brandon? I just want to verify only one shot, right?
One shot.
That you heard of and that you know of, right?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm asking is I just want to make sure it didn't go anywhere else. I'm pretty sure it's stuck in the frame there.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure there's nothing else that I need to be looking for either.
One shot. Okay. They were surprised, I think, as much as I was.
Okay.
I thought they were going to hit me.
Okay. So you know what we're doing. I'm going to get a bunch of cops here. We're going to walk down the street just to see if we see any shell casings or anything like that. I don't think I'm going to see it because it probably stayed in the Jeep.
They was very professional, whatever they're doing.
Okay. So I'm just going to do that just to make sure of everything. Did your camera, did it get anything?
I didn't have it turned on. I just installed it, so I didn't have the recording turned on.
Okay. All right. Yeah, if he can just stay down there, yep, that's perfect. He's got his friend coming up right here, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to do the line search just to let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for them to get here, and then we'll do it.
Perfect.
And at the same time, we'll look for any other cameras. So he's saying one shot. So, going off.
And he died at their house. He's in Chandler. They think I'm involved in it. I have nothing to do with it. I don't want anything to do with that.
Your car's still running too, dude.
It does. It's electric.
Okay. You can't just turn it off?
It doesn't turn off if the key's in there. It won't go anywhere. It's dark. If I walk away, the other doors are closed. That's why I left it in
there. Oh, serious? Gotcha. Never mind. I'll leave it in there then.
Just a little nervous.
So did you like bend down when it hit the in there?
No, I didn't know what was going on, man. I just pulled up. I just went to the gym. I was gonna head to work. There's a Jeep parked there. Thought it was weird that
where was the
Texas
park?
Place, just right there where your car is, just parked towards that van. And then they had the back they lifted the back thing and I saw the muzzle, heard a bang, my window shattered, and it was like, well, it's pointed
at the go just right over here for just a second.
Where were you when the car
driving?
No, like in the street. Where were you right when it hit you?
I literally just didn't turn into my driveway. I saw the thing come up. It was such a weird thought to me. I was like, what the heck, this is weird. I do have cameras, by the way.
You do?
Nest camera right here, so we might be able to see something. So I pulled in, and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to pull in my driveway. I was noticing that. I saw it come up, and I heard the bang. And immediately, I just pushed the gas and went forward because it's like I'm getting shot at. For a second there, it didn't go through my window, so I was thinking maybe it's just a paintball gun or something. And I still thought that all the way till I saw that there's a bullet up there.
Okay.
Or what looks like a bullet.
Pull up your nest, see if it shows anything, even like the Jeep pulling up or anything. So Wrangler, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Now, green you're talking about, are we talking that like, type of green?
Like a hunter green?
Like a pukey green.
Like a puke green.
Okay, that's kind of more of a pukey green. Are we talking a chartreuse?
It gets a little repetitive right here just because it's the other angle from the other officer. So I'm going to cut it off.
Let's see what this guy wants real quick. Hi there.
Hey,
Can I help you guys?
Oh, yeah. Where's the landscape company? We're just looking at the trees. We're doing a drive-through inspection.
Okay. Well, this is about as far as you're going to go for a little while into the other side. All right. You guys have a great day. Yeah, I don't see a problem with that. Hang tight just a second. Hey, just real quick. His friend wants to go get him some food. All good with that? Okay, everything good. He's going to have to cut through the crime scene because his truck's over there, and then I'll have him come over here with the truck. Yeah, that's what I'll be doing. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, when you come back, if you wouldn't mind, I need you to park on this side.
Yeah,
okay.
So I parked here.
I got you. Come on. I'm going to escort you. Where are you parked at? How about we both, all of us, go and put your truck or your car over on this side? Because this is a crime scene. You're not really supposed to be going back and forth through here. But if you park
on
that side.
On this street. I'm parked on the cross street right on the corner.
Do you want to just, do you live in the neighborhood?
No. Okay. If my truck's okay, I'd like to just leave it there.
Just leave it there? I have no problem with that. I was just going to say, because it's going to be a pain, but you can always drive everybody anywhere you need to. Actually, we can just cut through here.
Go around it?
Yeah, let's just go around if we can. So, you know, your name doesn't need to be all that. Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Yeah, just come out off of Fisher.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're going to hear some different voices. They're talking to some neighbors about what they saw.
Like a room color had tinted windows. Okay. Parked facing right in front of that.
And it was running.
It was running.
How close was it to that van?
Right up to it.
Right up to it. 8:40 this morning.
Yep.
And then you left.
That's when I left.
I heard a loud noise. And I didn't know what it was.
Went right after he left at 8:40?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would have been sad. Just trying to think. So nobody smoked, so that cigarette would not be typical.
No.
Well,
it could be anyways, but it's a pretty fresh one, is why I'm asking.
Oh, no.
I mean, they could have been parked here at one point. You know.
They smoke over here.
Yeah.
The only reason I say it is it's fresh.
Right.
It doesn't look like it's been out here for a long
time.
You never know. No, I have not talked to him, but I'm going to get his name and stuff. Brian, or Jason, come here for a second. Reason that clicked when you said about a cigarette, this was on here,
oh, yeah.
And I didn't know if that's the same brand.
Detectives, they'll probably want to do the line search, don't you think?
No. I'm like, no, maybe that's your house.
No. No, he called me over. We just got done going to the gym. I just got done showering. Came over.
He was like, hey, I just got shot at.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Like, really?
And just to pipe in here for a second, these police officers are investigating. And what the audio we're listening to is the body cam footage of the police officers as they're investigating, talking to Brandon, talking to neighbors. It's pretty easy to follow along, although I have edited out a lot of the dead spots where they're just walking and not having conversation. But it's pretty easy to follow along just to understand that that was the day Brandon was shot. And this is what was going on, and we're getting the audio from the police officers.
Do you have the ability to pull it up on a phone or anything like that? No. They just save it?
Yeah, they just save it just for their data.
Yeah.
So some highlights, only it's very long, the body cam. They were there for a long time. But as you can see, you know, Brandon
was probably a little more shooken up because he doesn't say who they were initially. And later on, he clearly puts it together that it was Charles Vallow's Jeep that Tylee used to drive, or currently was driving, as far as everybody knew, and that it was Alex in the back. According to court documents, the bullet missed Brandon Boudreau's head by inches. The shooter fled, and the investigation is ongoing, according to Gilbert police. The attempt on Brandon Boudreau's life occurred October 2nd. The Jeep that his would-be killer was driving was registered to Charles Vallow. Boudreau believes Charles' death, the children's disappearance, and his attempted murder are connected to a radical religious group that the children's mother, Lori Vallow, joined about 18 months ago. He says, this is a quote from Brandon, "I just don't know how people can get so wrapped up that they can end up in the space where these people are. It's just so radical, so different." This Arizona Central article goes on to say, Boudreau's ex-wife, Melanie Boudreau, is Lori's niece. She began spending time with Lori and the religious group and suddenly demanded a divorce over the summer, Brandon Boudreau said. He said, "I thought I had a happy marriage, so it was pretty overwhelming. Before the divorce was final, someone driving Charles Vallow's vehicle attempted to kill him." And again, he describes it as about to pull in this driveway when he saw a gun with a silencer poke out of the Jeep's window. He said he heard a gunshot as his driver's side window shattered. Police later did confirm that this was a vehicle that was registered to Charles Vallow. During the time of Brandon's shooting, it's documented by the police. Ryan Piller has this letter FBI agent sent, and it says, "Good morning, Ryan. What is the telephone number that Alex's phone was in touch with during the Gilbert shooting time frame that came back to the Hispanic female? I'll search that to see if it's connected to any money transfers. Attached are the NCIC offline results for Alexander Cox, Lori Vallow, plus her AKAs, Melanie Boudreau, plus her AKAs, and Tylee Ryan. I have the original text files from CJIS if anyone needs this for their case file. Also attached is Lori Vallow's Hawaii driver's license, which is valid until 2023. And another email from Ryan Piller to Nathan Moffitt, the detectives in this case. Displayed below in red and added to Nate's email are other phone numbers, vehicle information I have for the involved persons so far. I placed a pound symbol next to the phone numbers I've already wrote paper on. While replying to this email, I discovered Alex called from his phone number, blank, redacted, during the time frame of the Gilbert shooting to Lori's phone number, blank, as Alex has it listed on his Rexburg lease agreement. I contacted Fremont Sheriff Lieutenant Powell and Rexburg Detective Hermosello, and they are meeting tomorrow to begin surveillance." So according to these police documents in the FOIA drop, Alex was reaching out to a Hispanic female. I am going to assume, this is just my assumption, that it was Zalema. And I am going to feel like, you know, all these people were in cahoots. It's pretty darn clear. And while all that was going on during this investigation of Brandon's shooting, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were a little bit busy up in Idaho with Lori's storage unit. Let me play that Nate Eaton video newscast for you.
I'm Nate Eaton, and we are getting a closer look at surveillance footage from Self Storage Plus in Rexburg. This is the facility where Lori Vallow went on October 1st to rent a storage unit, and inside she placed some very personal belongings, such as children's bikes, scooters, also some photo albums, and blankets with pictures of her children, JJ and Tylee. Lori and sometimes two men visited the facility 9 times in October and 1 time in November. The big question is, what happened on October 2nd? We know that Lori rented the unit by herself the day before on the 1st, But on October 2nd, she came in her blue Nissan Rogue with a man we originally thought was Alex Cox, her brother. But a closer look of enhanced high-quality video shows it likely was not Alex. In fact, it appears to be Chad Daybell, based on the way he walks, looks, and comparing his mannerisms to other video we have of him. Let me walk you through this. The blue Rogue arrives at 2:25. You can see the timestamp says 1:25, but that's because the clocks were off, according to the facility. Lori is driving the Rogue and makes her way to the door of the building where her unit is. She gets out 2 minutes later at 2:27 with the man we believe is Chad. At 2:29, he pulls a tire out of the back of the Rogue and rolls it into the storage unit. Then 1 minute later, he and Lori both carry in together what appears to be a removable car seat. They put it in the locker, shut the door, and leave the facility at 2:32. Their entire visit is just 7 minutes. So why does this matter? Well, that same day, Brandon Boudreaux says that he was shot at in Gilbert, Arizona, around 9:30 that morning while coming home from the gym. Brandon had been married to Melanie, Lori's niece, and he had a very large life insurance policy and assets totaling over $1 million. Months earlier, Melanie began spending a lot of time with Lori and her religious group. Then Melanie suddenly demanded a divorce from Brandon. The bullet missed his head by inches, and police say the person who shot at him was driving a Jeep registered to Charles Vallow. Charles had been dead for nearly 3 months at this point, and Tylee Ryan regularly drove that Jeep, but she had been missing for more than a month at this point. Now, if you're familiar with Jeeps, you know that many models have spare tires on the back, and if they are in place, the back window does not open. But if they are removed, that window does open. So it's possible that the Jeep used in that shooting had the tire removed, and that tire could have been placed into the storage unit along with the back seat of the Jeep. We would ask Alex Cox if that was the case, but we can't because he's dead and police are not commenting. But if Cox was not in Rexburg, it's possible he was in Arizona, inside Charles Vallow's Jeep. The next day, back in Rexburg, Lori returns to the storage facility with another man who we believe is Alex. They were there for 3 minutes. You can see them entering, working their way to the same door she was at the day before, and going into the building. Compared to the guy from the day before, this man walks differently and carries the tire out rather than rolling it.
So you see what's happening here. Chad and Lori put the tire and the back seat into the storage unit the day that Alex was on his way to shoot at Brandon. Alex turned around and came home. And when he came back, they took the tire and the back seat out of the storage unit. So Chad was on his way to help. So Chad helped Lori get it out of her car and put it in the storage unit. And then Alex got back in town and put it back. Brandon saw the Texas license plates. It's so obvious. And this storage unit video is freaking gold. Gold. We'll keep listening to Nate. Shout out to Nate, East Idaho News, for the amazing coverage of this case.
The man we think is Cox also carries out the car seat by himself without any help from Lori. Originally, we thought this was a tote with something hanging over the end, but this higher quality video shows that it appears it's actually a vehicle seat, and Lori and Alex are likely taking it away. 3 days later, on October 6th, Alex returns to the storage unit by himself in his silver pickup and comes five other times that month, including a visit on October 28th with a man who appears to be Chad Daybell. They stay 6 minutes and wheel in bikes and other items. The last time anyone visits the storage locker is November 24th. Lori and Chad stay for 4 minutes and drop off this Home Depot box and a tote, leaving belongings of JJ and Tylee never to return. Police have now seized all of the items that were inside of that storage unit, along with the Jeep that was used in the shooting of Brandon. I'm Nate Eaton for EastIdahoNews.com.
Quite a few spoilers there on the timeline, with you now knowing that
in the very near future, Alex Cox is dead. And you noticed at the end there were, they never came back to that storage unit after the end of November. Now, what I find really interesting is when this came out in real time, we couldn't figure out what was going on with that storage unit. It was so weird. What were they carrying? Was it a body? What was it? But it's really obvious that Lori and Chad put the back wheel of the Jeep and the back seat of the Jeep in the storage unit. And then the next day, Alex shows up and with Lori, and they take it back out and replace it probably back on the Jeep. Also on October 2nd, Lori's iCloud account shows deleted cookies from searches around the shooting of Brandon Boudreau. So Lori actually did some Googling, and multiple deleted cookies for Arizona media outlets, ABC15.com, ArizonaCentral.com, with Lori being in Idaho at the time. It is suspected that she was searching for the news of Brandon's shooting, as Alex had reportedly done the same thing. On October 3rd, the browser history on the computer for which Lori was searching for the wedding ring also shows someone searching for wedding dresses. Then, this all happened in Gilbert, but Chandler is very close to Gilbert. Chandler Police Department finds out on October 3rd, they learned of the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau by someone in a Jeep Wrangler parked down the street from his residence. They suspected that the shooter was Alex Cox. Blank Brandon further reported that Lori Vallow was to blame for his impending divorce from his wife, Melanie, the niece to Lori. Brandon then provided authorities with insight into the extreme religious beliefs of Lori Vallow and Alex Cox. Brandon suspected that these beliefs led him to lose his wife and also led to the murder of Charles Vallow. So as you can see, the police are starting to go, wait, there's something going on here. But they had no idea what was still to come. They discovered that Lori Vallow believed she was an exalted goddess, and she and Chad were directed to lead 144,000 people in preparing for the end of the world. Through this investigation, many witnesses came forward and provided insight into this belief system. Using these interviews and the data gathered from the above-mentioned warrants, several others who shared Lori and Chad's belief system were identified. Those pertinent to the investigation were identified. All redacted, several names. It was discovered that Lori and Chad believed that they had extraordinary abilities. Some of these abilities included the power to teleport and cause harm to others, the ability to call up natural disasters, the ability to pray away demonic spirits attached to others, ability, and also visionary capabilities. Because of these abilities provided to them, they felt they were qualified to tell whether someone had light or dark scale associated with them. This scale would indicate whether or not they had demonic spirits attached to them. Lori and Chad would often refer to these dark spirits by actual name, by a certain level of spirit, or by using the term zombies. Lori and Chad also shared a trust level in referring to others. In examining the data, these dark scales were attached to Blank, Charles, JJ, and Tylee. Many others were also provided with dark and light scales. Coincidentally, if you shared their belief system, your score was favorable. If you offered any opposition to their belief system or their destiny, you were seen as possessed. And before we end, because we're going to continue with October, there's a lot that goes on in October. I want you to listen to Melanie, Brandon's ex-wife, talk about the shooting.
Getting and I don't know what's going on. And so as, you know, being in a new marriage, I'm kind of dumping on him. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. Meanwhile, we have all these false accusations and questions about this supposed shooting that Brandon Boudreau is claiming that happened. And I've yet to see evidence and facts that come forward with that. But, you know, he's adamant about, you know, that it was Alex Cox that shot at him. And there's been no evidence that I've seen. And for a time I worried, could my uncle have done that? He's so sure. And I've got my own father threatening me and intimidating me with text messages. And I did worry, but when it comes back to it, I know the person Alex is. I haven't seen any evidence. And Detective Pillar on Gilbert Police never even called Alex or, you know, asked him to come in for a visit.
Did you have anything to do with that shooting?
Absolutely not. And Brandon knows that.
It just seems like it's like bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And the one thing that's in common here is that Lori is involved. How can she not be involved in something bad here?
I can't attest to all those different events, but I do know that Charles was there with an agenda, and he was working with Brandon and with Kay, and things didn't go the way he thought. And the big question we're not asking is, why is nobody asking why Charles had a $2 million policy on Lori? Charles and Brandon did life insurance together, and there's a lot of things that haven't been brought to light. Things that aren't being portrayed in the media. They're being hidden so we can run with this cult story and, you know, zombies, and it's more exciting than the truth, sadly.
Do you think you're going to see Tylee and JJ again?
I do. I absolutely do. I know Lori wouldn't ever do anything to hurt her kids. I've seen the pain that she's gone through and the abuse and betrayal. I've seen authorities let her down. I've seen court systems let her down. I don't have the answers as to why she does the things she does and why she hasn't spoken as to where they are. But I can't judge her because I don't know what she's going through. I can only love and support her and hope for everyone to be safe.
And here's a little bit about the private investigator that was hired after Brandon's shooting, looking into all this stuff that was going on.
Rich Robertson is a private investigator at R3 Investigations in Arizona. He was hired by Brandon Boudreau, the ex-husband of Lori Vallow's niece, Melanie Boudreau. Brandon hired him after becoming the target of a drive-by shooting.
The person he recognized, the person he suspected was the person who did the shooting, was the same person who killed Charles Vallow.
According to Brandon, that was
Alex Cox,
Lori's brother. According to Robertson, Alex had assaulted Lori's first husband. He also later killed Charles Vallow, allegedly in self-defense. So how do Melanie and Brandon fit into all this?
Lori Vallow certainly got Melanie involved in this. And by all accounts, the Vallow marriage and the Boudreau marriages were all idyllic until they got involved in this kind of cult situation.
That so-called cult being Melanie and Lori's religious beliefs, which centered around doomsday ideals. Divorce papers from Charles Vallow allege Lori believed she was a god. And among the group's leaders was Lori's new husband.
Chad was somebody who was involved in Lori Vallow's life for some period of time, a year or two prior.
Eventually, Lori, Melanie, and Alex would all move to Rexburg, where Chad lived. Robertson later tracked them there and set up surveillance.
We saw them unloading the U-Haul that they rented in Arizona and took to Rexburg, and we saw where they were living, but we didn't see the kids.
JJ and Tylee hadn't been in contact with anyone for about a month at this point, so the grandparents, Kay and Larry Woodcock, asked Rexburg police for a welfare check at Lori's house.
And she said that they were in Arizona, and so some police in Arizona were asked to go check on that location that Lori told them. And when they got there, the kids weren't there, hadn't been there.
That's when Rexburg police went back with a search warrant and Chad and Lori left the state. Lori's brother Alex would later be found dead in Arizona, and police would exhume Chad's ex-wife, Tammy Daybell's body, calling her recent death suspicious.
When you look at them all together, how many coincidences can there be?
Robertson's theory?
It's obviously centered around their religious beliefs. Some of their writings suggested that they were going to get rid of their spouses who were non-believers. The struggle for all of us is trying to put a rational explanation on irrational acts.
Very complicated case, continuing to get more so. Now, I also asked Robertson about Charles Vallow's life insurance policy. He tells me that it was a $1 million policy. Originally, Lori was the beneficiary of that, but then later it was changed to Kay Woodcock, who is also Charles Vallow's sister. Robertson says, as far as he knows, who ended up with that policy still being determined, Kim?
Complicated is an understatement. In all my years in this business, I've never seen a story like this with so many potential players and potential suspects and victims.
Right.
And thank you for continuing to unravel it for us there, Misty. We appreciate it.
A lot of this stuff that I'm going over today overlaps with other things that I don't want to get into today, specifically Tammy Daybell. So we will do that on the next episode. But I do want to skip a little bit ahead because there's some stuff going on with Tammy that I'm not going to talk about right now. We're still kind of back on October 3rd-ish after the storage unit surveillance. And then there's some stuff that starts happening the next few days with Tammy that my whole next episode will focus on. And quite a few other things with Lori and Melanie Podolsky moving about, going places, doing things. We'll get to all that in the next episode. But fast forward a minute to October 15th, Brandon gets a text message from Melanie. And Melanie says to Brandon that morning at 8, or that evening at 8:11 p.m., "I've made the decision to move to Boise. We will need to create a new schedule for the kids. We can pay to go to mediation again or save money by coming to a mutual agreement. I'm fine with whatever you decide. The kids could remain with you in Arizona. You would have to arrange for daycare." Brandon replies immediately, "Seriously?" Melanie, 4 minutes later, replies, "Yes." Brandon replies 4 minutes later, "Why, how is that good for our kids? I don't understand. I will keep them in Arizona and figure it out. But why? These kids are going to need us both. They need things to stay the same and to have structure." Again, she doesn't answer. At 8:34 p.m., he says, "When are you moving?" No answer. At 8:48 p.m., Brandon messages her again. "Is that it? No more information? This is pretty important. Can you give me more details? If you are planning on moving, you should have them, right?" At 9:05 p.m., she says, "I'm planning to go next week." Brandon answers immediately at 9:05 p.m., "What day?" 9:07, he said, "Are you still planning on having the kids this week and weekend?" That was Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. On October 2nd, 2019, Brandon, father, it says, left his home at approximately 7:20 a.m. to drop the older children off at school and exchange the younger children with mother. So he exchanged the younger children with Melanie that morning. After the exchange, instead of immediately returning home from work, he went to the gym and did not arrive back at his home until approximately 9:13 a.m. Upon return to his home, a vehicle was parked out front of his residence, and when he passed the vehicle, the individual inside the vehicle fired a shot towards the driver's side front window of the vehicle, hitting the vehicle just inches above Brandon's head and shattering his window. The shooter then proceeded to flee the area. He immediately dialed 911, and Gilbert Police dispatched close to 20 officers to Brandon's residence, where they shut down the street for most of the day to investigate the crime. Due to the severity of the incident, the current investigation into the attempted murder of Brandon has been instructed by the investigating law enforcement agencies that he is not to reveal the names of the individuals who are currently viewed as suspects or to reveal any information as to the specific details relating to the evidence gathered this far in the investigation. The agents investigating the incident have indicated to Brandon that they have concerns over the children's safety if they remain in the care of the mother.
According to new documents filed in Arizona, Lori's niece, Melanie, may have more information about the location of JJ and Tylee and has claimed responsibility for the attempted murder of her ex-husband, Brandon Boudreau.
Now, he and his attorney filed the paperwork one day before Lori's arrest in Hawaii. Fox 15's Adam Herbetz is in studio to explain how the case extends further than Chad and Lori.
Well, Brian, Kirsten, these documents were obtained through the Arizona court system by Fox 10 in Phoenix. But you might remember Brandon Boudreau spoke exclusively with Fox 13 last December about his attempted murder case involving his ex-wife, Lori's niece, Melanie. It was his first and only interview because for the past few months, he has been in hiding, calling himself the spouse who got away from a dangerous cult that centers around Lori's family. He says he wishes Tammy Daybell and Charles Vallow could have also survived.
911, where's your emergency?
Someone just shot my window.
Looks crazy, right? I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense.
While Brandon remains in hiding, his ex-wife has been looking for him and their children, even though she does not have custody. At one point, she offered a $10,000 reward for his location on her now deleted Facebook account. She was also arrested for trespassing and domestic violence at his parents' house here in Utah.
The police are on your way. Get away from my daughter. Get out.
Somebody tried to kill my son 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow are newlyweds. Both of them had spouses who suspiciously died within the last few months. Tonight, we spoke to a man who used to be part of the family and has some insight on what might be going on.
To my right, I have Lori. Say hello, Lori.
Hello, people.
This is a clip from Lori Vallow's religious podcast recorded before she and her new husband, Chad Daybell, started running from police accused of lying about the location of her two missing children.
If you did something bad yesterday, the Lord wants you to say you're sorry today and just do better tomorrow.
I spent the last 11 years of my life spending time with Lori and her now deceased husband, Charles.
I don't know what happened to those kids. I know that there's people who do and they're not talking.
Brandon Boudreau, who used to be married to Lori Vallow's niece, says he was part of the family. He baptized Lori's daughter, Tylee Ryan, and loved JJ, her adopted son, with autism.
I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense.
Now he thinks the entire family's life has changed because Lori and his wife joined a religious group created by Chad Daybell, an offshoot of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with more radical beliefs.
You've used the word cult. What do you mean by that?
You can't be a member of the church and believe those things. Their focus is just so much on the end of the world and, you know, this idea that it's coming.
He also doesn't think it's a coincidence. Chad's wife, Lori's brother, and Lori's husband are now dead. All cases under investigation in different parts of the country due to suspicious circumstances. Doctors initially thought Tammy Daybell's death was from natural causes, but her grave in Springville has been exhumed for further investigation. He says he's one of the lucky ones who could have ended up on that list of dead spouses.
A couple months ago, there was an attempt on my life, and so I went into hiding with my kids. Just makes you sad. You know, like a lot of people you care about aren't here anymore because of these ideas.
Police in Rexburg say at this point they are not confirming or denying whether the couple's religious beliefs are connected with this case. If you have any information about the location of Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, or those two missing children, please call the Rexburg Police Department or the FBI.
So, wow, right? We're really getting into it now. Brandon's attempt on his life is huge when it comes to this entire case. And like you know, more people wind up dead. We are only in October of 2019, the first week of October of 2019. There's so much more to come on this case, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And like you know, there's no secret of what happens to JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan. I've been an advocate for this case. I've wanted the world to know about this case. I feel like it's really an important message. These people get involved in these cults. And I've also been told by other people that are LDS, that are from the Rexburg area, that there is this belief system and it still exists right now, right here in 2022. So they're on the down low, but there's no way to say at this point that this cannot happen to somebody else and someone else's children. There's so much more to come. Please, if you are new here, go back and binge watch season one so you can get the huge background on Lori. And also, if you are inclined to help support my show, please consider donating. No donation is too small. There is a link in the show notes for my PayPal account. Buy me a coffee. And I would really appreciate that. This is my second job. I'm a full-time registered nurse. I work full-time as a high-risk OB case manager by day, and I do this by night and weekend. So I thank you so much. I also have a YouTube channel. It's called Left Undone, Incomplete Investigations. I have not been very active on there recently because I'm very much committed to getting this entire story put out there on this podcast platform in chronological order the best I can to tell a story. But if you'd like to go back and watch any of those videos, they were all done in real time as things unfolded from the minute I took on publishing anything about this case was January of 2020. When no one knew what was happening, Lori and Chad were missing at that moment. So if you really want to dig even deeper, go ahead and check out my YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And also, I would love if you would consider giving me 5 stars on my podcast. I work really hard on this podcast, and there's some fabulous reviews. But in order for Apple and Spotify and everybody to get it out there and share it under True Crime, I need some more ratings, some more likes, some more 5 stars, please. And comment just a nice review if you're so inclined. If you don't like it, please be honest about that as well. Thank you so much for listening to Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult, Season 2, Episode 2, The Attempted Murder of Brandon Boudreau. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe, stay well. Bye-bye.